My friends, this time of year is sometimes referred to as the wedding season, as couples often choose early summer to celebrate sacramentally their commitment to each other. In an act of profound self-gift, these couples entrust themselves, body, mind, and heart, to each other in a loving union. There's also another way in which our bodies are given for others. Mothers who carry their children within their womb for 9 months share their own body and blood for the nourishment of the new life growing within. Brothers and sisters, in the world of Jesus, the expression body and blood was a way of speaking of the whole person. Today we speak of body, mind, and spirit when referring to the whole self. This feast day of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, celebrates the gift of Christ, whose entire self was entrusted to us, both in his ministry of preaching and healing and in his ultimate act of self-surrender in death. My friends, as this feast day is the last great Sunday celebration until the Feast of Christ the King in late November, this solemnity is meant to nourish us through the rest of the summer and the fall ordinary time, as a kind of liturgical viaticum, food for the journey. And our second reading today from 1 Corinthians provides the earliest written description of Jesus' Last Supper and of the church's celebration of the Eucharist. In this ancient formula that was handed on to Paul and then to us, and which is repeated at Eucharist, we are invited not only to receive the body and blood of Christ, but also to do this in remembrance of him. Do this means not only to remember Jesus' words and actions at Eucharist, but to imitate Jesus' whole way of life. In our gospel today, the 12 and the crowd have been with Jesus all day as he taught the people about God's kingdom and restored the bodies of those who needed healing. With the day drawing to a close, the people's physical needs now come to the fore. So the 12 suggest to Jesus that they go into the surrounding villages to buy provisions. But Jesus, in a rather blunt response to the disciples, directs them to use their own resources. Give them some food yourselves. The verb Jesus uses here is in the imperative. In other words, Jesus is saying, just do it. You feed them. And as he does throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus not only fills the hungry with good things, he fills them to overflowing. Out of his deep sense of compassion for the suffering and the needy, Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looks up to heaven, blesses, breaks, and gives them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And with these few shared gifts, Jesus creates a community of thanksgiving, a community of Eucharist. And by taking and blessing and breaking and giving the bread and the fish, Jesus foreshadows the total gift of his very self on the cross and in the Eucharist. Brothers and sisters, in sharing his body and the bread of the Eucharist, we re-enter the inexplicable love of God, who gives us eternal life in his Son, the risen Christ. In drinking his blood in the wine of the Eucharist, we take his life into the very core of our beings. And when we gather for Eucharist, we remember Jesus is giving his whole self for us. We gather again and again so that we become more and more and more like Jesus. We pour out our lives as Jesus did. In a Corpus Christi homily, our Holy Father Pope Francis said that, and I quote, "The Eucharist is the sacrament of the communion that takes us out of our individualism so that together we live our discipleship, our faith in Him." End of quote. My friends, the Eucharist is our identity sacrament as Catholic Christians and the heart and the summit of the Church's life and the source of its unity. St. Augustine in the 5th century, when reflecting on the sacrament of Eucharist, exclaimed, "Be then what you see, and receive what you are. It is a sacrament of yourselves that you receive." St. Teresa of Calcutta, in one of her reflections, wrote the following, and I quote, "In the Eucharist, we have Jesus in the appearance of bread and wine, while in the slums of Calcutta, we see Christ and touch him in the broken bodies and in the abandoned children." Brothers and sisters, this feast day is a reminder of the fact that not only do we receive the body of Christ in the Eucharist, but also that we are the body of Christ. It is not only the ritual of receiving Eucharist that we celebrate, but also being Eucharist to one another. Brothers and sisters, I think that sometimes people become so concerned with the question of what happens to the bread and wine and ignore an equally important question. What happens to us when we receive the body and blood of Christ? Do we become Christ's living instruments of love and compassion and forgiveness and healing and living instruments of gentleness and patience, of hospitality, of peace, of justice, of unity and mercy? And as we read further in John's Gospel, we learn that to accept Jesus as the one sent by the Father to serve us means that we are to wash one another's feet and to lay down our lives for one another. So, my friends, we gather on this very day knowing that Jesus is present with us. We know that this bread and wine has new meaning because of how we use it. And we believe that it is Jesus that has given it new meaning because Jesus told us to do this, to gather and to pray and to share this bread and wine in memory of Him. The Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ is a reminder of the connection we have with the Lord Jesus. It is not only the ritual of receiving Eucharist that we celebrate, but again, being Eucharist to one another. And this great feast calls us to do just that. Our procession around the parish campus at the end of this liturgy today isn't just some colorful religious pageant. It is a statement, a stirring statement to the hungry world that we who have been nourished by the body and blood of Christ are now willing to be for others their sustenance and nourishment for their life's journey, the bread of their hope, and the wine of their joy. Brothers and sisters, to remember Jesus in the Eucharist is to renew our identity as disciples and renew our attempts to put into practice the gospel values we professed when we were baptized. As John's gospel recounts in the washing of the feet, we are not meant to stay at the table or in the pew, but move outward in a spirit of service and solidarity. Because the Eucharist at its very heart is meant to form us into a way of life whose essence lies in serving and dying for others to the end. Amen.